Are you ready? It's time for another great infotaining show filled with power-packed business and life information. Welcome to Your Future Is Now with your host, Jim Grant, and co-host, Don McGrath. Want to know how to create a fantastic TED Talk? Or how you can become an author or a speaker or build your own online business? Maybe it's reaching a level of success in your life that you deserve. Their show is designed to provide information to assist you towards your success and destiny. Each week, Jim and Don will interview a special guest and share exciting lessons. So grab a pen and paper. Take some notes. Thanks for joining the show. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I am Jim Grant. Your Future Is Now is proudly sponsored by the good guys at Speakers Pathway Coalition. If you go to speakerspathway.com, you're going to find some interesting treats there. We're going to have complimentary gifts by all of our executive training directors. In addition to that, Don McGrath, the co-founder, he offers a 5-simple-step kick-butt TED Talk. But one of the things that we're very, very proud of, and we're known for giving back at this time, is a webinar series that we started on the 23rd of March. It runs Monday through Friday. It's live during this time of the same time that we're live here on the radio. And that's where Dandy Don is. It's called Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Support. And this has been a tremendous blessing for us. And we've got about 90 speakers there that's already got their individual presentation there. Our guest today, we're connecting with her right now. She'll be with us, Dr. Sita Desilly. And I think I mispronounced her name correctly, because she'll correct us. But most importantly, she was on the show on March the 30th. That's a Monday. And if you go to speakerspathway.com, click on the complimentary gifts, you can actually see her presentation there. And when we heard her give her presentation there, we said, we got to get this young lady on the radio show, because a lot of our ladies, a lot of our followers are ladies. And her message was thriving during challenges and how to use the wisdom of our body to transform stress into vitality. She's a tremendous young lady. She's very, very well centered. And she has a lot of interest. One of the things that I find interesting, when she's not dancing Cuba salsa and things of this nature, she loves leading wilderness safaris for women in South Africa. And it's really interesting. But my point being, I wanted to share this with you, and she's going to be with us very, very shortly. But also too, very important, our executive training director, Mr. Bill Heinrich, he is filling in for Dandy Don, because Dandy Don is doing the webinar series, the Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Support. It's live on Facebook. It's at Speakers Pathway Coalition. But filling in for him, Mr. Bill Heinrich, he is one of the honorary hosts here on the TogiNet radio system. And Mr. Bill, he has a wonderful free gift for you today. It's called Clarity Has No Story. That's Clarity Has No Story. You can go to myfreebook.me, as in Mike Echo, myfreebook.me, and download your copies just a click away. So, Mr. Bill, welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
Oh, I'm just glad to be here, brother.
Me too. I'm really looking forward to the show. And I'm also, you know, you mentioned speakerspathway.com. And we sure have some exciting things coming up there, along with all the messages of inspiration, hope, and support. We have all the free gifts there, including my book, Clarity Has No Story, which you can get at myfreebook.me, M-E. But the other executive training directors have free gifts there also. So if you have a message to share, whether you're a speaker, you're a business person, you're involved in a movement, you're involved in a charity, everyone has a message to share. And that's what Speakers Pathway is really about, is helping people get their clarity so that they can deliver a very short, succinct, powerful message. Right, Jim?
You're exactly right. And ironically, most of our members are ladies. They've been in business for about 10 years. They've been struggling trying to get success. And it doesn't matter if they're an author. It doesn't matter if they're an affiliate marketer or internet marketer or whatever. What they need some business tools. They need some coaching. They need some guidance. They need to know how to put all these things together to be able to be successful. And these ladies just, they just brag on us. They think we're the greatest thing. In fact, they give us testimonies. So you can go to speakerspathway.com and listen to what they have to say. And we're very, very honored, because what makes us so good there at speakerspathway.com, if I can use that phrase, being good, since I'm the co-founder, is because our focus is on giving back to the community and giving as much as we can to people. And we look for ways to give things away, don't we, Bill?
You know, that's, it's really true, because each of the executive training directors at Speakers Pathway have different specialties. So Don, one of the co-founders, is a specialist in helping people craft their speeches. Jim is also, but Jim has quite an extensive background in teaching, too. So that's a different type of presentation. And then we have Dr. Sony Jackson, who does copywriting and teaches you how to attract clients and make connections through your business. Dustin Matthews, who is a whiz in copywriting, online marketing. Preston Martelli, who, as Jim refers to him, is Mr. Google, who knows how he knows how to get your name in front of people online. And in addition to that, I'm forgetting Koji Somali. Oh, yeah. His name just disappeared from me. He specializes in videos. Mm-hmm. And then we have Tamara Hunter, who is a specialist in developing online communities. So we don't just work in the area of speaking. Myself, my specialty is the area of personal transformation, developing clarity in your life and in your business. So we really cover all aspects of what it takes to be successful in a 2020 marketplace, especially as we're going into a completely new world with the pandemic happening. Everything's changing, and one really needs to be on top of their game, because the way we used to do things in March 6 weeks ago are no longer the same.
You're exactly right, Bill. And we want to get with our guest here very shortly, because she's got a lot of great information. She was a fantastic speaker. I was really impressed with her as a person, as a speaker, her message, everything. And she's a true snapshot of all the other speakers that we have there at the Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Support. So please go to speakerspathway.com, and please look at the individual presentations by the different speakers on many, many different topics, because, ladies and gentlemen, you, I, and everyone else, we all need a shot of inspiration, we all need a shot of hope, and we all need a shot of support. And please share that with someone that you may know that could listen to one of the speakers there and share that message. That's why we do it. And Ben lets us know that Doctor is joining us by phone. She's in Hawaii this morning. My goodness gracious, Doc, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you.
I always mispronounce her name, so I'm going to be 100% perfect. And your first name is that, I'm going to spell it, S-A-I-D-A. How do you pronounce that, please?
Saida.
She says it much better than I can, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to try it. And her last name is D-E-S-I-L-E-T-S. And is that Desilé?
Yes, that's correct. It's French-Canadian.
Well, I feel good. You know, Bill, I'm batting 50%.
And
we looked at the information that she sent us, and ladies and gentlemen, I just said, oh my goodness gracious, we're only about 3 minutes away from breaking for commercial, but Bill, what was your opinion when you saw the information that she sent us to share on the show today?
Oh, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say. What island are you on in Hawaii?
I'm on the island of Maui.
Oh, you're over on Maui. Yes, my daughter lives there. I lived on Kauai. I just moved back to the mainland a couple of years ago. I was in Lihue, so
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm still full of the Aloha spirit. So my daughter's up in Makawao.
Perfect. It's very close to where I am.
Oh, really? Wonderful. I think we're coming up to a break in a minute. Is that correct, Jim?
We got about 2 minutes left, and I'd like to give her a moment just to introduce herself and just share a little bit about who you are, because I know people are wanting to come back after the commercial break.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm a lover of life. I think that being alive and the opportunities that we have to express our genius, our creativity, our love, our connection is remarkable. And right now it's needed more than ever. So I feel really blessed actually to be alive during these times, although many don't feel that way right now, but I do. I think it's an amazing opportunity to transform what's happening on the globe and to do it together as a global community. So that's really, you know, what I love. I love people. I love aliveness. I love connection. And as you read earlier, I definitely love to dance and I love the wilderness. So all of that. I'm also a researcher and I research more things around the realm of psychosexuality and sexuality for women. However, the topic today is for everybody.
Absolutely, because when she's talking about desire, the thing that comes to my mind when I saw the word desire is that desire is a starting point of all achievement, according to Napoleon Hill. And he points out that a weak desire gives a weak result, and a small fire gives a small amount of heat. And Bill, I know you've seen that to be true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to jumping into this conversation right after the break, because I believe that desire is quite misunderstood.
It is.
And I think that, right, because it can really go two different ways. And so when we get back from the break, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say about that, and how it shows up and how you can trust it.
Absolutely. And we'll be right back right after these messages.
SpeakersPathway.com is the proud sponsor of Your Future Is Now, a show dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the vision and mission of Speakers Pathway. Dr. Sony Jackson's expertise is on the art of marketing while cultivating a long-term customer relationship in your business world. Do you know what to say or how to deliver your message to complete strangers? If so, Sony can help you. Tamara Hunter is a cancer survivor and works with people to focus their message or mission to the audience they want to reach. Do you feel called to create a movement to make the world a better place? If so, Tamara can help you. For additional information from any of our executive training directors, go to speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Fairs offer wonderfully wild and wacky summer foods, from chicken fried bacon in Texas to Minnesota spaghetti and meatballs on a stick. There is something about dining at the fair that can make anyone an opsomaniac or a person who is driven to the point of madness by food. State fairs are famous for their lubberwort, or food with no nutritional value. The California State Fair boasts fried Krispy Kreme chicken sandwiches. That's fried chicken and Swiss cheese tucked into a Krispy Kreme donut served with a side of honey sauce. At the Iowa State Fair, you can enjoy a hot beef sundae. That's a big scoop of mashed potatoes over roast beef, covered with gravy, sprinkled with cheddar cheese, and garnished with a cherry tomato to look like a sundae. What's another word for messy food? Mawala.
It's words you never heard.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Your Future Is Now is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And I'm joined today by the honorary host here on TogiNet Radio Station, Mr. Bill Heinrich. And Bill, we've got a young lady on the line that's going to talk to us about a word that you said is very misunderstood. Am I correct on that, sir?
Yeah, it is. It's there's not a lot of clarity around desire, so I really want to hear from Dr. Desilets about the how desire shows up and how one can tell how they can trust it.
Yeah. Well, let's define it first, because I think that will help lead the conversation. In terms of physical, like what we know in terms of how it functions, say, for human beings on a physical level, is that it's a motivational force. So if you're thirsty, you're going to get stronger and stronger desire to drink some water to nourish that thirst, and it's going to motivate you to go and seek something to drink. So that's kind of like a very basic description of desire. Mm-hmm. It's this motivational force that speaks to you through your body. The way that I like to define desires, I broaden it just a little bit. I like to consider it more of a force of nature. So yes, it's happening in our body. We can respond viscerally. We get signals. So that's one of the ways it shows up. But I also feel that it's happening in all forms of life here on the planet. It's how springtime knows it's spring, etc. And as you were saying, the Napoleon Hill quote, it's also true for the cosmos. How does nothing become something? There has to be a spark. There has to be something. So that's where desire comes in as a force of nature. So I sort of expanded that definition. And then in terms of how it shows up, let's just take us all into a moment where we really deeply wanted something. We could feel it in our heart, almost like an ache or a yearning. That is probably the most evident way that it would show up. Or if it's around sexuality, you might feel that ache a little further south in your body. But there's a visceral response to something that you are being called to take actions toward. And that, I find, is very important. So I'll pause here because I think it'll be great to hear what you have to say. And then we'll go into how do we trust it.
So this is really fascinating to me because the work that I do a lot looking at energy. And of course, desire is a very, very strong energy. In fact, maybe one of the most compelling ones, because it can show up a lot of different ways. Isn't that correct, Doctor?
Absolutely. It shows up in so many ways. And so one of the things that I defined, I wrote a little pocketbook size book on this. It's like a little book with big ideas. But there's six themes that I noticed that strongly show up for people. So I want to just mention those. There's obviously Eros, which is the sexual desire. That's kind of, you know, we're all familiar with that one. Love, the desire to be in love, to find love, to know love. Procreation, to create a family. That is a massive desire for a lot of people. And it's a very strong one that cannot be ignored. There's thriving, which I think is actually activated right now in the time that we're in with this pandemic. There's rapture, which is the yearning or ache to know the divine in whatever way it shows up in your life. And then there's contribution. It's this insatiable desire, need to contribute something to the world. And we can see when people don't have that peace, they actually start to shut down and their life force diminishes quite a bit. The contribution becomes a very important desire. And all of these desires can show up throughout our whole life, and they can show up more than one of those at once as well.
So it seems to me that in the physical, that desires would show up around our five basic needs.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Is that correct? And is this how you, I know you use a term called hijack desires. Is that associated with the physical needs more so than the force of nature that you refer to?
No. So let's go there because it's so delicious. I'd love to go there. So I honestly believe that we need desire in order to do something. If we didn't have desire, we'd do nothing. And that's not, we're evolutionary beings. We're action-oriented beings. Our physicality is designed to move. We're designed to create. So desire in itself is not bad, but it has a bad rep. And why? So when I was looking at this more deeply, I realized what's happening is the true desire. Say we have a desire to know love. We really want to be in love. That true desire is honest. However, it will get hijacked by familial ideals around love, your community's ideals around love, society's ideals around love, all the definitions. And so suddenly, what you think you want in love, you've literally been taught what and whom to desire. And why this is a problem is that usually you end up in a situation going for what you thought you wanted, and then it's not really what you wanted, because what you really wanted was deep connected love. But because you've had all these standards or mandates kind of piled on top of the original desire, then you're going kind of sideways and you're getting a version of what you desire, but not the true desire. And it's incredibly dissatisfying. And I think it's what leads to people feeling more and more jaded over time and having less and less trust in their desire because of that nature of how it gets hijacked normally through the social norms and mandates and ideals.
So you're referring then to one having the force of nature in them.
Yes.
But answering to their external physical influences. Is that correct? Am I saying that right?
Physical. Yeah, and not just physical. So, you know, if you're brought up in a family where you're only allowed to marry within that kind of, say, ethnic group, for example, but you actually fell in love with someone that's outside of that ethnic group or religious group or whatever the things are, it's going to be really painful, right? But you almost have to pursue within the mandated peace because that's what you're brought up in. And then you end up not having the thing that you've been called to have, which is deep love, but having this hijacked version of it. And so one of the ways I like to help people with that is just to identify, is what you're going for really truly what you desire? Or if you were to get this thing, so I kind of take them all the way fast forward to having it, that how does it feel? Is it what you actually want, or is there something underneath that?
It's very interesting because you actually wrote a book on desire, have you not?
I have, absolutely, yes.
Yes, and would you be kind enough to share your web address and your email address so people could get in touch with you and say, tell me more?
Yeah, sure. So if you want to just look at the book, desirethebook.com is where that one is. But my actual platform email, our website, is dareyourdesire.com. And the email is too long and complicated to say over the radio, so.
Okay.
If you just go to the site, there's a contact us page on the website. So.
Okay, and your web address again is, would you repeat it,
Dare,
please?
Yep, dareyourdesire.com.
Dareyourdesire.com. Okay.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, I will have all of this in the description of the show. And you're also a TEDx speaker, are you not?
Yes, I went on TEDx to speak about this topic, actually. So if you watch that talk, you'll get a little different version than what we're speaking to today, but definitely a deeper exploration as well in one particular direction that I went in for that talk.
So you've spoken about the different types of desire. I'd like to hear a little bit more about the desire to contribute, because
yes,
it seems as though that's... Is that one of the, I was going to say authentic, but I that wouldn't be the word. Is that the one, because a lot of people have a pure desire to contribute, and I'd love to hear you speak about that.
Yeah, I think contribution is so crucial, especially in times where we're at right now, where there's not, you know, we feel kind of stuck, and we want to help make a change happen, no matter if it's micro or macro. And So that's very natural and organic. And then the thing to understand is what you desire to contribute is calling you as well. So it could be the simplest thing. Maybe you're just making meals for a few people, or maybe you polish shoes and people feel great about the shoes. You don't have to be this very kind of well-situated, famous way of contribution. In fact, quiet contributions make a lot more impact than the rah-rah type of contributions for the most part. And so I think we need to start trusting that the thing we most want to give and offer others, that is part of how that desire is showing up in your life. And when we cannot give that, when we can't offer whatever it is that we're really yearning to offer, there's a shutting down that happens. So it's actually very important for our vitality and our well-being, both mentally, emotionally, and also physically, to have what I like to call vocational arousal, or this enlivenment around wanting to contribute, wanting to create, wanting to support, wanting to help.
That's really fascinating, because the area that I work in is dealing with people's life purpose, the energetic values of it. And there's so many similarities that I'm hearing here. And I had never given any consideration to desire in looking at it. Do you find that those are, they would have to be in alignment, right?
Well, what's interesting about desire, because it's a primal force, it's very strong. You can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. You can try to ignore it, but you cannot. So what we want to do, like what you're doing, how you're coaching people, is honor the desire. Like, understand its fuel. It's going to amplify. It's going to move you in a very strong direction. And then kind of line up your values and what's important to you with that energy, with that profound motivational force, and then you'll be unstoppable. It's when we have all the beliefs, I can't do this, or I'm not good enough, etc., and then you have a huge, powerful fuel underneath it. It's quite a connection. Mm-hmm.
We got a break for a commercial.
I was just going to say we're ready to go to commercial break. I want to hear more about this. This is really fascinating when we get back from break.
This show, Your Future Is Now, is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people to find their future. Is fear holding you back from your calling or your life mission? Do you struggle with taking that first step? If so, Bill Henrich is our catalyst to help you create perspectives with new possibilities that will bring you more peace, more joy, more love in your life, and freedom. Do you struggle trying to build your strategy? Do you know how to reach your end results? If not, Gigi Ames is your expert in strategy and helping you create your step-by-step game plan to reach your finish line. For more information on creating the life you want to live, reach out to Bill Henrich. Or if Gigi Ames can help you with building your strategy with your end goal in sight, go to speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Do you ever wonder if you're the only woman who runs errands in her yoga pants so it will look like she went to the gym? Or how about the only mom who feeds her kids raw cookie dough? Or are you the only one who cooks her family cold cereal for dinner? Do you need more laughter and less loudness? More self-love and less self-loathing? More joy and less judgment? You're not alone. Come to the Living Room, a place where we get comfy, candid, and confident together. Come seeking sanctuary and leave feeling renewed. We're saving a seat for you. Give yourself some living room today.
Thank you. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to a young lady today, Dr. Disalay, and she's talking to us about desire. And, you know, we're going to find out, is it your friend or is it your foe? She's been hitting on a lot of wonderful topics. And with Mr. Bill Heinrich here with us today, he's our honorary host here at the Toginet radio station. His specialty is clarity in the mind, and it's amazing how these two are really, you know, sharing a lot of great information. So I'm sitting back and I'm learning just like you are, because Bill, I tell you right now, she's a very interesting young lady, isn't she, sir?
Well, I'm finding this very fascinating. Yes. And before we went to break, I had mentioned, you know, about the similarities between desire and how that plays into one's purpose. And I know, Dr. Desalay, that you speak of the desire to contribute as a foundational desire. So if you could expand on that, that would be great.
Yeah, so earlier I mentioned there were six different ways desire shows up. So those are all foundational desires. I think they're really important. And why it's foundational, say the contribution specifically, why it's foundational is that I think every single human being is put here to bring something forth, to birth something of their own heart, their own creativity, their own nature. And so then I find it so curious that the thing that you are moved toward is actually also part of your gift. What I'm interested to contribute might be very different than you or anyone else, you know, that's around in our community. But thank goodness, because all these different desires to contribute then end up creating a whole picture. And now we have the entire solution for the problems and things that we want to solve around us. So that's why I love it, and that's why I love people discovering why, what it is that they really want to gift the world. And for some people, they think, well, I just want to write poetry. I think, you know, that's useless. But without certain types of art, say even poetry, maybe you're saving someone's life because your poems are touching them so deeply that they choose not to go the route of suicide and choose to look at the surroundings and their own experience in a very different light that allows them to choose to live a little longer. That's a huge contribution. You just saved a person's life. So contribution, we can't really be a judge of it. We must just simply acknowledge, here it is. I really want to give something. And the thing that I'm called to give is actually innately part of my gifts. I like that a lot also because it speaks to that each one of us has a genius. We have a inborn, let's say, raison d'être is the French way, reason for being. And it will come through many different desires. Obviously, you know, if you're going to create a family, you can create a family and contribute to the world. Those things are not in conflict. So what's beautiful about that is we start to recognize and look at ourselves and get curious about, well, what is my genius? What is it that I was born to bring forth? What is it that inspires me and lights me up? Because that's part of how we start to track it. We track it by actually noticing physical sensations of turn on, or what I call being lit up, inspired. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't just happen in the realm of sex. You can have vocational arousal, for example. A project could turn you on so much, you're just so excited to dive into it. So it's very important to notice that. And it's important to notice when it's not there as well, because that's important for our navigation. Let's say it's part of our compass.
Wow. I'm really learning a lot, because when I'm working with people, I'm always talking about the energy, following the energy. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we each have a very unique gift to share with the world. Mm-hmm. And I can see now how the path to that gift is going to be the desire, as the force of nature, as you refer to it, or in Hawaii they call it ha, right? Your breath of life. This is what fuels it. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. And so we want to learn, instead of avoiding what we desire, instead of being afraid of desire, instead of considering it that it leads us to suffering, instead what we want to do is reframe it And as we reframe it, we start to become friends with it. And then we start to get clear, what is a true authentic desire? And where is it getting hijacked? By whom and by what? And is that really what I want? So, for example, if you have a really strong desire to contribute, but you think it has to be in a very specific way, and that particular way is what everybody else is doing on the internet, and you're getting really stressed, and you're not feeling lit up and turned on to do the work that's needed, because there's a lot of work that's needed when you want to contribute something. You got to act, you got to do things. And then you don't have energy for it. You feel overwhelmed. You're judging yourself. You start going on a downward spiral. It's because mm-hmm. that desire to contribute was hijacked. But if you actually can just realign and say, look, I don't have to do it like everyone else. Here's how I'm going to choose to bring this forward. And it could just be as simple as a person who, you know, I think there's a few people that walk around, well, you can't do it so much now, but they offer free hugs. Right? That's their contribution, and they do it by donation as well if people want to donate. I think it's an amazing thing because so many people don't get hugged. They don't get touched. And so why would that have less value than someone who's building a big multi-million-dollar business? We can't put value in that particular way. We all have impact, and whether we choose to act or not act, that also has impact.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. I would like to hear about some of the ways, the perceptions that people develop as they're touching and experiencing their desire. Some of them are obviously going to come from outside, but how much come from inside the people about what will people say? Am I going to be judged? Things like that, because I know when you're following your desire, you're certainly not going to be following the standard mode of operation for life. Is that correct for the most part?
I think for the most part, sometimes it can still move you down a conventional line. Like that's not unheard of. So long as you're really connected to it. And sometimes it really doesn't. Sometimes your desire is so strong that it actually breaks apart even families, which is why people are so afraid. But if you look back historically at some of the most amazing people who had shaped our civilization and, you know, who we are as humanity, and you can see some of them were really unusual creatures. They were very odd. And what people viewed was very different, but they were foundational to moving our evolution forward. So thank goodness that they had that oddness and they went for it and they didn't fit the conventional life of the time. So we need to be a little more, so there's a word I like to use a lot. I like to use the word daring, and I'm going to say why in a moment. But we do need to enter daring, this elicit this quality within us, because it exists there. I actually believe every one of us we're one of us descendants of the daring, because those who didn't dare didn't make it. So we have that inside of us. And yet the world right now is really affected by apathy. And I find that really sad. So we want to actually come back to the body. We want to be in the body. We want to move the body. We're a little bit afraid of our body. For the most part, whatever the life experiences have been, many of my clients have to find their way back to being comfortable in their own body and accepting their own body and then accepting the messages of their body. And desire can be very frightening for people. So coming into direct relationship with it and allowing it to inspire you and fill you with, as you were saying earlier, energy, because it is a very energizing force. Then we actually have a bit of fuel to face what I call false constructs. It's the things we were brought up in. It's the domestication. It's these ideals that we just can't live up to. And we start to see them follow away, and there's a much simpler and more beautiful human being revealed, which is our true nature. And then we're freer to actually explore our calling, whatever that might be, and do it from a place of feeling quite genuine. And I think it helps with programs like this, because then people start to feel, oh, here's a family. Here are other people who are thinking outside the box. And that's what we want to do, is once we start to connect with our desires, to connect with other people who also have a relaxed relationship around that phenomenon.
You know, when you were talking earlier about...
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Excuse me. I just wanted to say something. When she was talking about contribution a little bit earlier, the thing that popped in my mind was Tamara Hunter, one of our executive training directors. And because she's a cancer survivor and what she went through, she was she created a journal, a daily journal, a celebration journal for people to download there at speakerspathway.com. But her purpose is to help someone through the good days and the bad days when they're struggling. Mm-hmm. And giving back and contributing, if we focus on that and have that kind of desire, my goodness gracious, that solves a lot of our problems is where I'm coming from. And that's my attitude. And because I've always looked for when I serve myself, it's not fulfilling. But when I serve others, it puts the icing on the cake of life, Doc. It really does. And we got about a minute and a half left before we go to commercial. And Bill, I know you wanted to say something, so let me hush and give you the mic, brother.
Well, I wanted, and I don't know how quickly this could be answered, but I wanted to hear a little bit more about the acceptance of desire, especially internally. It's obviously the conflict out external is quite, we've all seen people who we look at and go, hey, they're a little weird, right? but they're living in their desire.
The quick answer, because I know we're needing to go to commercial here in a moment, is definition creates reality. And we can talk about that when we come back, because how we define ourselves is how we're going to experience reality. And that's a huge game changer when we start to redefine who we are, how we are, what the world's all about. It's amazing what can happen when we start really paying attention to that.
Wow, this is this is really fascinating. You know, I think the show isn't going to be long enough today, Jim. I can tell you that right now.
We'll just have Ben order a pizza. We'll just stay here.
I think we're going to be headed to break here in just a couple seconds. I'm really looking forward to hearing more about that.
Your Future Is Now is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com, and just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people define their future. You may have heard that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, a video is worth 1,000 pictures. Koji Simaldi says, if you're not using video in 2019, you're going to get left behind. Most people feel lost or confused when it comes to marketing. Preston Martelli is a marketing guru whose strategies are both art and science in growing your business. Preston helps you make the right decisions that are predictable, measurable, and scalable. For additional information about Koji, Preston, or any of our executive training directors, go to our website at speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Why does music give us chills? Goosebumps, or the medical term horripilation, occurs while listening to music. That's because music stimulates a reward pathway in the brain, encouraging dopamine to flood the striatum, a part of the forebrain activated by addiction, reward, and motivation. Melomaniacs, or passionate music lovers, can get the chills from songs they are familiar with as they anticipate that long-awaited chord at the climax of the piece. Music, it seems, affects our brains the same way that chocolate gambling and potato chips do. I think I may need to stick to chocolate and potato chips because I tried piano lessons and I felt like a goostrum noodle. What's a word for a person who dislikes practicing the piano? A mesodactylitis.
It's marching down.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Your Future Is Now is proudly sponsored by the good guys at speakerspathway.com. And today our guest is Dr. Desley. She wrote a book called Desire, and you can get, you know, your personalized, you know, the journey of desire. You go to Desire the Book, three words, Desire the Book. Club, C-O-U-B. And Bill, before the break, she was laying some real knowledge bombs on us on reality, wasn't she?
It's really, really fascinating. And I want to make sure that before we get into this, Jim, we make sure that we give Dr. Desley plenty of time here at the end again to get her website and such. Yes. But Dr. Desley, we were talking about acceptance, and you started talking about how people define themselves. And I'd love to hear more about that.
Yes. So just to reiterate that there are very specific ways that we can be more friendly with our desire and start to be at home with it. And acceptance is one of those three. I also mentioned daring. And then there's a third, a component called curiosity. And this is what we're going to talk about now with redefining what our reality. So this is actually very simple. We start to, if you can sit down someday and just start writing down how you define yourself, in all the ways that you define yourself, then how do you define other people and how do you define the world? And you get really familiar with that. And then you have a look and you're thinking, actually that definition doesn't suit me anymore, or I actually don't think that anymore. But yet it's still there. This is how the world is, for example. The world is difficult, or the world has got too many problems and it's overwhelming, or whatever, you know, the definition is. And then you get very daring. Now you've been curious, you're going to get daring, and you're going to sit down and you're going to redefine it. What does it actually mean to you now? Well, let's take that very personal. We've been talking about contribution. Maybe there's a definition that you don't know enough to have significant impact, so why bother? Something like this, right? So then the redefinition of that, because reality will show up exactly how you define it. And I've seen this time and time again with myself, with my clients, with many people. We kind of get how we look at the world is how we see it. And definitions are how we look at the world. So if I'm looking at myself going, I'm not good enough, I don't have what it takes to bring this contribution out, guess what's going to happen? I'm never going to bring that contribution out. So to redefine it, I need to sit with, actually, I have a very unique way of expressing myself, and I'm going to offer it freely. And so we have a new definition. And then suddenly I just start telling people that, even if it's, I don't really believe it initially, because there's a period of time where we're rebuilding neural pathways. We're rewriting the story of our lives, and we get to do that every single day. Where neuroplasticity is an amazing feature of being a human being. It's where body and physicality meet mind and emotion. It's really that interface. So it's very exciting. That's a redefining reality, how we choose to define ourselves, is such a crucial step in acceptance and feeling good about our uniqueness, because every one of us is very unique, and hopefully we're honoring and loving of that uniqueness. And if we're not yet, then I think this process could really support that.
Yeah, this is it's just fascinating me, because, you know, I have a client that I'm working with who does hypnosis, and she had the desire to do it for entertainment.
Interesting.
And went and got training on it. And at the training in Las Vegas, found out that they were actually going to do a stage show that night. She wasn't aware of that when she went. And when I was just speaking to her last week, and she was introducing herself in one of my group programs, she introduced herself doing the hypnosis and an entertainer. So that is a reflection of what you were just talking about, about owning your desire, right?
Exactly. Owning it, redefining your reality, meaning literally how we speak of ourselves, of others, of experiences, solidifies those neural pathways, and you have to behave accordingly. So if we want to live a more free, open, expressed, and interesting life where it's not just a habitual pattern, we get to do that. Our systems are designed to do that. Yeah.
And what was fascinating was there were people present who had never met her before, and there were others whom we had been together for a while. And the people who had never met her before just bought into that reality, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
And then they support her. And then
I'm sorry. I loved it because I could feel her desire behind it.
Yeah, and that's inspiring. So desire is also a very magnetic force, right?
Yeah.
Human beings, and what's interesting about magnetism, think about desire. Think about where we often experience it. It's not just something in our loins. We do often experience it in our heart as a yearning or an ache. And then if you look at information from the Heart Math Institute, the heart creates electromagnetic energy. Mm-hmm. So now we have magnetism. And when you are in alignment with your desire and you're saying yes to it and you've done your work around redefining, you know, how you define yourself in reality, you enter what's called a coherent state. And that coherent state affects everyone else. So now just by being at home with who you are, what you desire, what your calling is, you're actually impacting everyone around you without even saying a word, just by the state of being that you're embodying because of how our amazing biology works.
It's really, I mean, I would go so far as to say it's the core of our essence, is that desire.
Yeah, it's like the motivational energy that is expressing the truth of the essence, let's say. There's essence, and then there's how do we express it? How do we bring it forth? And desire will help us do that. And that's why I think it's important to reframe our relationship to desire, to start learning that we can actually trust it, and to slow things down a little bit so we have that period of inquiry going, is this truly something I deeply want, or is it something I've been taught to want? And having that moment of a breath, because I know for me, my first marriage, he was everything on my list. Like I had this long list of everything I wanted in partnership. But that didn't last very long, I have to say. It didn't last very long. I thought I married the perfect guy, and it turns out that the thing I really wanted was deep love, and that was actually not present, even though the whole list of qualities that had been there had all been ticked off. So I think that's why it's very important to have a more conscious, loving, curious relationship about our desire, and that way we start working with it instead of having it work against us.
So as an example, relationships that don't work, it would then be a misunderstanding between physical desires and your real true desire of experiencing love, as you expressed it?
Not always. Okay, so we have to be very honest, is that sometimes in desire for sex, it doesn't have any... It doesn't have a moral issue, so it just wants to express itself. And occasionally we build relationships purely on sexual desire, and they're not going to last. There sometimes, obviously, can also be the desire for love, and those are two very distinct things. And if you are really looking for love and you do love yourself and you know yourself, then you can take time, because if this is a person you're meant to spend the rest of your life with, they're not going to be going away. You don't have to rush. You can breathe and trust that this is what it's meant to be, rather than immediately rushing into let's get married, let's like create a family within a 6-month period when you barely know each other at that point. So I think we could do a little better with, because tension arises when there's desire in our body, either sexual mm-hmm. tension or creative tension. These tensions arise, and we must learn to be a little more comfortable with that tension versus the instant gratification type of training that we have from our society. Take some breath and really tune in. Is this genuinely true for me, or is it just a temporary experience that I'm having?
We're getting down to about 3 minutes, and before we go any further, I want to, actually 2 minutes now before the show is over, I want to be able to make sure that you folks out there know how to get in touch with Dr. Desilet. You go to dareyourdesire.com, and I find it interesting that you also, you've created 8 online courses to assist women to successfully embody their sensuality while embracing their sexual health. And that might be of interest of ladies out there. So there's a lot that you offer in this world. And, you know, it just amazes me, you know, when I look at all that you've got the jade egg movement and just all sorts of things, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm also assisting to transform female medicine through research, and the things we're discovering are breathtaking. I can't speak to them at this point because they haven't been published. So there's a wide range, but my passion really is for all of us to feel comfortable in our bodies, to love being a human being, which is a messy experience at times, and to keep being curious, to keep daring, and to know that we matter and the choices that we make matter and have impact.
Absolutely. And Bill, we got about 1 minute left, and I know you find this so interesting and fascinating, and I do too. You could probably go on another hour, couldn't you, brother?
Well, I feel like we just started. It's been the clarity that you bring to this area. I really want to commend you for it. It's very well described, and it's an area that I would say is very much misunderstood. So it's been mm-hmm. a pleasure mm-hmm. having you with us today.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be here with both of you, actually.
Yeah, very tremendous amount of help to everybody listening to the show, I'm sure. So thank you. We'll have to have you back again. Mm-hmm. Everybody have a wonderful day.